All right, good morning, everyone. I know that it's going to be Thanksgiving this Thursday, and so I was thinking before we get into the Word, since it's a smaller group today, which means there's more opportunities for us to interact with one another, and so maybe we can turn to our neighbor in light of the season of Thanksgiving. Maybe we can share with our neighbor one thing that you can be thankful for this season. And then maybe you guys can share that together. And then after you guys share with one another, if I can just really encourage you to pray together, specifically over just really God's blessing in this season of Thanksgiving, that we can be reminded of His grace and His mercy in our lives. And so maybe if you guys can just share really briefly, and then one person can say, hey, let me pray for us, and then go ahead and pray, okay? So let's do that before we get into the Word together. All right, well, let me bring us all back together. Really thankful that we have this opportunity to share. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of things that that we can be giving thanks to God for, which is awesome. And so I pray that you'll have a blessed Thanksgiving this Thursday. We're going to be traveling up to St. Louis to visit my sister. And then also, you know, I went to undergrad there, so looking forward to walking around my alma mater and all that good stuff. So hopefully you guys will have a good weekend. Let's do this. Hebrews 12, that's where today's passage is going to be from. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And as you guys are looking up that passage, just really briefly, we are in this season of Together on Missions and our worship. One of the things that we are really trying to emphasize is growing in our worship as we are rooting ourselves in God's truth. And so we've been memorizing Ephesians 1 together. And so this week, once again, it's refreshing ourselves in Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. And so if you had not had the opportunity to memorize it when I think we did this about a month ago, then it's an opportunity for us to do so now. And if that is something that we have memorized, then I think it's really good to go back and just make sure that we're being refreshed and renewed in the Word. And so just a quick reminder for that, okay? All right, so as we are entering into the season of Thanksgiving, I was thinking about for this Sunday as well as next Sunday, before we enter into our Advent season, what it is that God wanted to really encourage us in, because I do feel like it's that season where we're slowly approaching the end of the year. And so end of the year is, for those of us who are working, it's usually busy with family stuff and thinking about presents for parents, I don't know, siblings, nephews, nieces, children, and so forth. And so there's that busyness. But then also there's that reality that we're slowly winding down, which means all the things that we were able to experience. So on one hand, we are grateful and thankful for those things. But on the other hand, I think we're slowly feeling the wear and the tear of this year. But I really do feel like it's a season where God is wanting to continue to encourage us on. So with that in mind, we're starting a new series, a two-part series called Our Fight Song. And really, the genesis of this is, so when you think about a fight song, it's really a song that we sing over each other, right, to cheer each other on. So for example, for University of Texas, it's Texas Fight, right? Or is it Fight Texas? I think it's Texas Fight. Yeah, Texas Fight. And so we sing that song, and more specifically in athletic context, to really cheer on our team, right? For those of us who are from University of Michigan, it's hail to the victors, right? It's hail to the victors. Or, you know, if you are into football, or I guess soccer, English football or American soccer, especially into the English Premier League, if you watch those games, it's really interesting because every once in a while, the fans will break out into these chants and cheers. And so my favorite team, the Tottenham Hotspurs, they have a fight song called "Oh, When the Spurs Go Marching In." And so every once in a while, they'll bust into these songs. And the whole point of the song is they sing these songs over the team to really cheer them on, right? To empower them towards victory. And I really feel like it's a season where God is cheering us on towards the end. Not the end of our lives, but at the end of this year. That as we're thinking about what does it look like for us to finish well, with everything that God has entrusted us with everything that God has blessed us with, as well as with the challenges that we've encountered along the way. And I really do feel like it's a season where God is reminding us that, hey, he is cheering us on, that he is singing these songs over our lives. And today, more specifically, we want to talk about the song of joy that God sings over our lives, the song of joy. Now, in trying to prepare this message, I have to confess that it was really hard for me because on one hand, this topic of joy is so ginormous. You find this topic all the way from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. And so I don't think doing one sermon on this topic of joy will do that topic justice. And then also not only recognizing just how important this theme of joy is all throughout Scripture, and who understanding who God is and how God calls us to relate with him in this relationship, and also in how we relate to one another. But I think this topic of joy is hard because the reality is that we know and understand that we are called to live this life of joy, but sometimes we look at our lives and we're thinking, even though we're called to live a life of joy, it's really hard to engage in that life, right? And I was just thinking about my own life as I was preparing for this message, and that even though I was trying to craft this message, I realized that this week it's actually been pretty hard. Not necessarily hard because of specific circumstances. I think part of it may be weather related. I just realized for me, like whenever it gets like gray and cloudy because it's sunny all the time here, I just feel very low energy. And then as soon as I start feeling low energy, I start feeling down and so forth. And then like this week was, it was gray, cloudy, it was raining. We're having some issues with our roof. We had a leak and, you know, like we were dealing with all these things. And then I was trying to prepare this message and joy. And I was struggling with this message because I felt like, I don't know if I'm really feeling joy in my life right now. And the reality is that many of us struggle with that, right? Because theologically, we understand joy is important, but then experientially, we struggle with really understanding what it means to live our lives in joy, in live our lives joyfully in our relationship with God. But the reality is that joy is something that God invites us to. That's the biblical reality. And so one of the things that I really had to wrestle with this week is, ultimately, where do I place my trust in? Am I going to place my trust in my circumstances and really make that my ultimate reality? Or am I going to place my trust in the Word of God? And that's going to be, regardless of my circumstances, my ultimate reality. Because the ultimate reality of God is that he is inviting us into this life of joy. That he is inviting us to experience his joy. And so it's really understanding, how do we define what God's joy is? How do we understand that joy that he is inviting us to? And how exactly is God inviting us into that joy? And so once again, I mean, this is a large topic, but I just want us to hone in on one aspect of how we can understand that, specifically through Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And so with that in mind, let's go and read this passage together. Hebrews 2, 1 and 2. This is the word of God for us this morning. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I want us to focus on 2B once again. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And so even from this verse, we realize the reality of joy. This issue of joy is so important because if our lives are really a call to reflect the life of Christ, and when we think about the life of Christ, that before him was joy. And so if Christ engaged in this life of joy, and if our lives are to reflect the life of Christ, then we need to also engage in his joy in our lives as well, right? And so what does that look like? How does God invite us into his joy? And so we're just going to go through this verse by verse, and I believe that there's five observations that we can make, and I promise, even though I said five, we'll go through this really fast, because my notes are only 4 pages, right? So really fast, I promise, all right? So what can we see about God's invitation for us into his joy? And the first observation that we see is this, that God encourages us with the testimony of others. So when you think about God inviting us into his joy, one of the ways that he does that is by encouraging us with the testimonies of others. Look at verse 1. So he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and we know that he is talking about Hebrews 11, where he talked about the testimony of all these men and women who have lived before us, and they really engage with God through faith. And I know that this chapter is about faith, living by faith, understanding and embracing the faith that God speaks into our lives. But I think one of the byproducts of living by faith is really joy. So you can't separate the two, right? You can't read Hebrews 11 and see the examples of these great women of God, some of them actually receiving the promises of God in their lifetime, while others, that promise was still far away, but they knew that sooner or later that that was going to be a reality. That you can't look at their lives and you can't say that, you know what, their lives were filled with faith, but they lack joy, because I think faith and joy go hand in hand. And I think one of the ways that God encourages us, especially when we're wrestling with, I don't really feel like I have joy in my life, God encourages us with the testimony of others, that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And I think this is a wonderful reminder that when you think about what it means to live the Christian life, that it's never meant to be lived by yourself. That it's always meant to be lived in the context of community as we speak into each other's lives, as we spur one another on in our faith. And sometimes that's not necessarily going to be in these great ways. So, for example, yesterday morning I had breakfast with some of the brothers in our church, and we're just sharing about how things are going in our lives. We had an opportunity to share about some of the struggles that we are encountering, as well as some of the victories that we have been able to experience in our relationship with Christ. And when I was thinking about that, I think, you know, in the midst of sharing, I was like, okay, this is great. But then when I was going home after that conversation, for some reason, God really used that to fill my heart with the sense of not only contentment and joy, but the sense of hunger for more. And I was just thinking about, man, what an awesome testimony that even in the midst of our fallenness, even as we share about some of the difficulties that we're encountering, some of the struggles that we're going through in our lives, that we can really testify to one another that God is faithful, that God is worth it, that he is worthy of our lives. I think about my friend, Pastor Mark. Many of you know him. He came and spoke at our congregational retreat last year, and he just recently experienced a partial stroke. And so he's still having some problems trying to regain the function of his body and going through physical therapy and all that stuff. And pretty much he's on sabbatical because he can't physically engage in ministry. And, you know, like I just think about even texting with him back and forth about really the struggles that he's experiencing in his circumstances, right? He doesn't try to sugarcoat some of the struggles, some of the hard things that he's experiencing, and some of the questions that he has in his relationship with God. Yet at the same time, even in the midst of those difficulties and struggles, still the hope that he is clinging onto. And when you think about his life, when I think about his life, it's not necessarily joy in the context of his feelings. It's not joy in the context of, well, everything is hunky-dory, but it's joy because even in the context of the suffering that he's experiencing, that he's still willing to cling on to Christ. And when I think about that testimony, it encourages my heart. So think about the testimonies of others that God is surrounding your life with. Right? Even yesterday afternoon, as we were able to meet together for covenant, as we were sharing with one another and praying for one another, some of the challenges that God is bringing in our lives. That was such a time of encouragement for me, because I see and recognize not only the struggle of my brothers, but even in the midst of it, that their desire to cling on to God. So God encourages us with the testimony of others. And not only does he encourage us with the testimony of others, but the second observation is this, that even as he encourages us with the testimony of others, that at the same time he challenges us to lay aside all that hinders us from his joy. Because the writer goes on, he says in 1b, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And so he's saying, first of all, remember the testimony of others. And as you remember their testimony, second of all, he says, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Because he's talking about the Christian life in the context of running this race. And so the illustration that he's using is that if you're running a race, then you're going to try to lighten yourself as much as possible. Right? You're not going to carry anything that's extra, that's going to burden you, that's going to hinder you in running this race. And so that's the same analogy that he uses. Let us also lay aside every sin and weight which clings so closely. And so God challenges us to think about what is hindering us from experiencing his joy. And constantly being able to lay that aside. Every weight, every sin. And what hinders us from living in God's joy, it might be different from person to person. Right? I was recently reading an article on Crossway, and it was talking about two reasons why Christians often lose their joy. And one of the reasons that the author talked about was this, that we lose our joy when we use religious duty to impress others. Right? When you think about our religious duty, the things that we do in the name of religion, that we do it to impress others. So no longer does it become an avenue for us to better understand the heart of God, but we use it to impress others, or we use it to get the approval of others. And secondly, the writer also talked about how we lose our joy when we use religious duty to control sin. Because there's a sense of guilt and shame. We use religion to try to control that sense of guilt and shame. So ultimately, religion no longer becomes a vehicle for us to know God better and to experience him more, but it becomes a vehicle for us to either impress others or to control sin. And I was thinking about that article, and I was thinking, yeah, in that context, of course, you would lose that sense of joy because your religious obligations would become exactly that, obligations. That instead of bringing about freedom that Christ promises, that ultimately it'll become a burden. So that's one example. But what are some of the hindrances in your life that rob you of the joy that God is inviting you into? I think for me, one of the things that really hinder me from experiencing God's joy is really envy. Now, specifically in the area of travel. And so I used to have Instagram on my phone. I don't anymore. But when I had Instagram on my phone, I followed all these, you know, like travel photographers, National Geographic photographers and so forth. And they would go to these locations and take these wonderful pictures. And, you know, like first it was like, wow, this is awesome. It's the beauty of God's creation. That was my reason, right? So I'd scroll through these pictures and I'm like, oh, beauty of God's creation. But then that quickly turned into, but why am I not experiencing that in person? And it's just amazing because even though I didn't intend it, little by little, it turned my heart into wanting that more than really desiring what God was calling me to do here in the city. And then that turned into not only, oh, I wish I could do that, but that quickly turned into, well, why am I boggled down with all these responsibilities where I can't do that for my life? And I know that that's a silly example, but there are things in our lives, And that might not necessarily be an issue for you. Right? You might be thinking, well, you know, I'm more mature than that. Obviously, I'm stronger than that. And that might be true. But what are the weights that are hindering you from really experiencing God's joy? Sometimes for some of us, it's pursuing joy for the sake of joy rather than pursuing joy so that it leads us to understand more of who God is. Others of us, what hinders us from experiencing joy is comparing ourselves with others. Right? We think about people who have kind of grown up in the church, similar time and experienced similar things, yet when we look at their lives, it seems like their lives are somehow further along than our lives. Or sometimes it's our own desires and goals. Maybe it is religious duty to control sin in your life. Or maybe it is religious duty that you're trying to impress others with. But God challenges us to lay down aside all that hinders us from experiencing his joy. And then not only does God challenge us, but number three, God reminds us that our joy is always in relation to Jesus. That even as he challenges us, he reminds us that our joy, the way that we understand joy, is always in relation to Jesus. Because he goes on, he says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. So it's not just running the race for the sake of running, but it's running the race as we look to Jesus, as we look to the example of Jesus, as we think about how he ran the race, how he lived his life. Someone asked Dr. John Piper how he would define what Christian joy is. And this is what he said. He said, Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. Right? Once again, Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. And so I was thinking about this definition that he gave, because I realized that for me, I get in trouble in really trying to understand what the Christian joy is, because I tend to focus on that first part. Christian joy is good feeling in the soul. Because in many ways, that's how we understand what joy is. And that's why when circumstances are hard and when we don't have that feeling in our souls, we tend to think about, well, why is there no joy in my life? Because on one hand, we realize and recognize that joy is not just some theological concept. Joy is not something that we just have to plow through and get through. Because joy is a feeling, it's a good feeling. It's emotions that are associated with happiness and contentment and delight. Because feelings are very important. God created us to experience these feelings. And so it's a good feeling in the soul. But I think how deep or shallow that good feeling in our souls is will depend on what we are ultimately rooting that feeling in, right? Because if you are rooting that good feeling of the soul in anything other than Christ, then sooner or later you'll recognize that good feeling of the soul, that it will be superficial and it will be short-lived. But God reminds us that that good feeling, which he speaks into our lives, that it has to be rooted not in our circumstances, not in our own desires, not in other people, not in the things that we're aiming for, but ultimately in Christ. And when you think about, when I think about joy, I think about Paul. Because Paul's testimony is really a testimony of joy. The book of Philippians is really his testimony of joy. And when you think about the book of Philippians, the thing that he comes to over and over again is not, oh, I wish my circumstances would change.
He doesn't say, oh, as I'm rotting here in jail, I wish that somehow more people would express their caring concern for me. Now, don't get me wrong. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to struggle with that. But ultimately, what he roots himself over and over again is the reality of who Christ is in his life. That even as he's sitting in jail, he's saying, I wish what? That I could be free? No, I wish that I could know Christ more. And that changes how he understands his circumstance. That changes how he interacts with his circumstance. Really, the shallowness or the depth of the joy that we experience in God, it will really depend on where it is that we are rooting that joy in. And so whenever we struggle with, man, I feel like there's this lack of joy in my life, maybe that's God's grace that is at working in us to help us to really think about, okay, if there is a lack of joy in my life, then where is that source of joy coming from for me? Right? Where am I ultimately trying to place root? So that I can experience that joy, and if it is anything other than Christ, we know that it's not going to be lasting, that it's going to be short-lived. God reminds us that our joy is always in relation to Jesus. That as we look to him, we run. And not only does he remind us that our joy is in relation to Jesus, God also blesses us with the gift of his joy. God blesses us with the gift of joy because even as he reminds us to look to Jesus, he says this, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. So in other words, the joy, the life of joy that Jesus lived and was able to experience, that it wasn't something that he produced within his own life. But it was a joy that was set before him, right? It was joy that was external to who Christ was. It was a joy that came from God the Father. In other words, it was a gift. And I think that's so important for us to recognize that when you think about the Christian joy, ultimately it's a gift because none of us have the capacity to really understand and live in this joy that God calls us to. In his book, When I Don't Desire God, How to Fight for Joy, this is what Dr. Piper writes. I'm going to read a short snippet. He says this, the deepest reason why we cannot rejoice in the Lord is that by nature we are dead. That is, we have no spiritual sensitivity to the truth and the beauty of the gospel of Christ. We are like the blind in the art gallery of heaven. Our deadness is not the deadness of the body. It's not even the deadness of the intellect or the will. It is the deadness of the spiritual ability to see reality for what it is, unquote. That's really challenging to think about. When Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Paul makes it very clear that before God entered into our lives, that we were dead in our trespasses. That we were dead in our spiritual ability to see the reality of who we are and the circumstances around us for what it is. And that deadness reminds us that joy is a gift because ultimately you and I, we are not deserving of this gift. And I think I struggle with this concept of joy a lot because I feel like, to a certain extent, that I deserve joy. That I deserve to be happy. That I deserve to be satisfied. That I am deserving of God to meet all my needs. And the reality is that, yes, God is good. God is gracious. But ultimately, our spiritual state is that we are dead, which means we deserve death. And I think this is so important for us to recognize, because this means that you and I, that we cannot produce the joy that God is inviting us to on our own. And sometimes that frustration comes because we feel like if we can only perfect this thing in our lives, we just got to memorize scripture, we just got to read the Bible more, we just got to pray, we got to go to church, we got to, when Pastor Ben's speaking, I can't fall asleep, I got to pay attention. As long as we think that we can do these things well, then somehow that we can produce this joy in our hearts. But the reality is that, no, the Word of God makes it very clear that joy is a gift. It's something that God sets before us. And the good thing about this gift of joy is that God is willing and desiring and wanting to pour out that gift of joy into our lives. So God blesses us with the gift of His joy. Even right now, that He is blessing you with the gift of His joy. Just the fact alone that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us so that we can know life. That is a blessing of God. That reminds us that He is always at work in giving us not the things that we deserve, but the things that we are undeserving of. And that should produce in us a sense of joy. Because even now we know that God is at work in building us up because He is for us. So God blesses us with the gift of His joy. And lastly, we see that God invites us into His joy by empowering us. So number five, God empower us to fight for His joy in our lives, no matter the circumstance. The writer of Hebrew, he closes out this way. Verse 2, he says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, so there was joy that was set before Him, joy that He was looking towards, yet that joy took Him on this path where He, what? Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I think it's really encouraging to think about the life of Christ, that the life of Christ was suffering and joy, right? Life of Christ was carrying the cross, yet being filled with joy. Life of Christ was sorrow and joy. That it's not one or the other, but it's both and. That in this life, yes, we will have suffering and difficulties. That we will have to endure the cross. But there is joy before us. And so God says what? He says, fight for that joy in your life. Fight for that joy that He sets before us. Christ fought for that joy by constantly remembering the place that the Father was taking Him to. Not just the cross, but beyond the cross to the right hand of God. That there was going to be eternal joy. And it's that eternal joy that fueled His joy while He lived on this earth. And one of the ways that we can fight for joy is the constant reminder that regardless of the circumstances and the suffering that we experience, that there is eternal joy that God is inviting us to. That no matter the circumstances, that God is always at work in breaking through and allowing us to live in that joy. I think about the testimony of Joni Erickson Tada, who is the founder of Joni and Friends. And if you know her testimony, She was in a diving accident when she was, I believe, in college. And because of that diving accident, she was paralyzed from neck down. Yet she, God used her life to be a wonderful testimony of his grace and his mercy. And she talks about how it's not easy. If there is anyone in this world who has the right to complain, to question, it would be someone like her. And she talks about how, yes, there are genuine moments of sorrow and struggle in her life. And that even for her, that she has to fight for joy. But she talks about how in her life, the testimony that God has built into her and shown her over and over again is this joy is not a joy that is fleeting, but a joy that is resilient. And more specifically, she talks about how she continues to foster that resilient joy in her life. And she says there's three specific ways that she does that. First of all, she says whenever she starts struggling with this lack of joy, she says she always sings her way through suffering. When there's questioning, when there's not understanding what God is doing, when there's suffering in her life, she says she sings her way through, that there are some foundational hymns for her that she goes back to over and over again, that as she sings these words, that it reminds her that even in the midst of her suffering, of the reality of who God is, that he is sovereign, that he is loving, that he is in control. And not only does she sing her way through, but number two, she says she busies her heart with good things. So in that moment, she has a choice to make. Is she going to dwell on her suffering, or is she going to dwell on the things that are good, things that are lovely, things that are worthy? And so she says she thinks about the testimonies of others who have gone before her. She thinks about the little ways that God demonstrates her his goodness in her life. Sometimes she says she turns to nature to marvel at the beauty of God's creation. She says she busies her heart with good things. And then lastly, she says the way that she battles through, especially when she struggles with the sense of suffering and sorrow, is she serves others who are hurt worse than herself. That when she serves the needs of others, even in the midst of her own suffering, that she is reminded of Christ who came to serve her. So God empowers us to fight for joy in our lives. And it's a battle, he says, that we are able to win because ultimately he won that battle on our behalf. So once again, how does God invite us into his joy? First of all, he encourages us with the testimony of others. Secondly, he challenges us to lay aside all that hinders us from his joy. Thirdly, God reminds us that our joy is always in relation to Christ. Number four, God blesses us with the gift of his joy. And then number five, God empowers us to fight for his joy in our lives, no matter the circumstance. And so as we close out, the one thing that I want to give us simply is this. Remember that Christ is the source and the sustainer of our joy. Remember, especially when we are fighting our hearts, to hold on to that joy, that God invites us to remember that Christ is the source, and not only is he the source of joy, but ultimately he is the sustainer of our joy. That he is the source of our joy, and that he is the sustainer of our joy, okay? And so this is how we want to close out. So when you think about the five ways that the author of Hebrews reminds us that this is how God invites us to really fight for and to experience his joy, I think there's five questions that I want to ask us. And can we, yeah, there we go, thank you. So if God encourages with the testimony of others, and the question is, What testimony is God encouraging you with today? Right? What testimony is God encouraging you with today? Maybe it's testimony of brothers and sisters in your life group, or maybe it's testimonies of Christians who have gone before you. Like whenever I struggle with this area of joy, I always turn to stories of missionaries who have gone before me. Men and women of God who were not only willing to pay the incredible price of following Christ, but ultimately experienced the incredible joy of following Christ. Testimonies of one of my favorite missionaries, David Brainyard, who was a missionary here in America a long time ago, specifically reaching out to the native peoples. And I'm so encouraged by his testimony, not just because of his gospel work, but because of the reality that he struggled with depression. All of his life, he would go into bouts of depression where sometimes up to a month at a time that he would not be able to do any sort of ministry because he was struggling with depression. And so he's not shy about sharing about his own struggles, but even in the midst of it, that he's still able to praise God. And that really encourages my heart. Because I know that that testimony of joy in his life, it's more than him. Right? It's not because somehow he was a great man. But it's because our God is a great God who is able to overcome even some of the more impossible situations that we can imagine for ourselves. So if we truly believe that God is encouraging us with the testimony of others, then what testimony is God wanting to encourage you with this morning? And if we truly believe that God is challenging us to lay aside all that hinders us from our joy, then what hinders you? What hindrances do you need to lay aside? And if we truly believe that God is reminding us that our joy is always in relation to Christ, then what do you need to do to fight to see Jesus more clearly today? To see Jesus more clearly in your life. And if we truly believe that God blesses us with the joy of his gift, then how can you thank God for his gift of joy today? And then ultimately, if God empowers us to fight for his joy in our lives, then what do you need to do to preach to yourself today? To preach the word of God into your heart and into your life. Because it's not just being reminded through the word of God. It's not just remembering the word of God, but it's preaching the word of God to yourself. And that's why, once coming back to memorizing the word of God, it's so important for us to hide the word of God in your heart. Because when you hide the word of God in your heart, that word in your heart will begin to preach to you. That word will begin to encourage you in your circumstances. That word will fight so that when you are down, that it will pick you up. That when you forget, that it will remind you. That it will encourage you on. So what testimony is God encouraging you with? What hindrances do you need to lay aside? How can you fight to see Jesus more clearly? How can you thank God for his gift of joy? And what do you need to do to preach to yourself? Okay? So let's close out this way. We'll leave these questions up here, and I just want to invite us to wrestle with these questions and think about how you would respond to these questions and really ask God to invite you into the joy that he has for you today, okay? So, let's do that. If you want to remain seated, or if you want to be seated, that's fine. If you want to stand, I think that's fine, but whatever ways that you want to respond to just this great reminder that even as he calls us to run this race of endurance, it's not a race of endurance for the sake of enduring. It's not a race of endurance that is filled with suffering and trials and difficulty. But it is a race of endurance that is filled with joy. Yes, there's sorrow, there's struggles, there's difficulties, but there is ultimately joy. And so can we take some time this morning to really ask ourselves these questions of how we can respond to his encouragement for us this morning, and how we can respond to God just singing his song of joy over our lives. Okay, so let's do that. If you want to respond through prayer, as you think about these questions, go ahead and do that. If you want to reflect, maybe pause to think about the ways that God has been at work in your life. Maybe some of you, as we talk about this topic, you know exactly some of the hindrances that stand in your way, things that are distracting you, pulling your heart. Maybe they're, I don't know, habits. Or maybe they're idols. But let's pray, God, release your joy in our lives. And invite us to remember Christ, author and the perfecter of our faith. Not only his example, but his empowerment in our lives. So can we do that, church? Can we respond to his word? So let's do that a little bit. Let's pray. Let's reflect. After a little bit, I'll just bring us back together. I'll pray for us. Close us in time of worship. So let's do that. Let's respond to his word.